Hello, everyone. My name is David Smith, and this is the Armchair Commentary. On this week's episode, we're talking World Series. Moreover, we're talking cheaters. That's right. It's time we put this Houston Astros thing to bed. I'm tired of it. Steve has some important takes on it as well. We get into it. It's going to be an excellent episode. Before we dive into it, if you haven't already, please make sure to hit the subscribe button. It is the easiest way to stay up to date with our latest episodes. If you can support this podcast in any way whatsoever, share our post on social media. Follow us on social media. If you can, head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/armchaircommentary. We have tiers for all sorts of different dollar amounts. We appreciate any support we can get. And if you're looking for merch, head over to redbubble.com and search Armchair Commentary. Without further ado, revenge is a dish best served in a trash can. We're back again, another week in sports, which means another week in NFL teams making bad roster decisions. And of course, I'm talking about Tua Tagovailoa getting the nod as the starting QB in Miami. You and I have both said on this podcast before that it is a bad idea. He's in the best position to succeed because he wasn't starting right away. Is this the most Miami Dolphins thing they could do? What do you think about him starting? Have you changed your mind on this at all? Or is it still a horrible decision way too early?
I mean, I don't want to call it a horrible decision. I feel like that's unfair, but I disagree with the decision. I don't think it's a good one, but I don't know if it's horrible. Generally, top five picks are expected to get in and produce immediately. So, I mean, Herbert's playing. He was picked behind him. He's playing well. Burrow looks pretty good. So, I mean, the odds are that, like, they were going to go to him. Although, I feel like the sample size of two passes for about 12 yards being the reason for benching Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was playing, I know, within himself at this point. They were 3-3. They were looking good to go to a rookie quarterback that had a horrific hip injury that almost ended his career. They're saying he's healthy, but is he? Like, I don't know.
With no training camp, no ability to kind of get settled in an offense, and the hip injury, that's why I think it's horrible. I don't think it's horrible because I don't think he's talented enough. I think he's probably the most talented QB out of that draft. In fact, he was the number one pick until he got hurt.
I think Burrow would have stole it the way he performed on the stretch. But regardless, he's definitely worthy of a top five pick. That's what we're going to say.
I still think I was on Tua time for a while. I thought that he was more dynamic. Burrow's fine. He's like leading the league in amount of times getting sacked. So I don't know how long he lasts. They didn't build that team around an offensive line around him before they started him. But it's what, like you said, when you're a top five pick, you're expected to come in and produce. And unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, it is Tua time in Miami. The Thursday night game is gross. Here we are, Giants-Eagles, in a division that I'm not entirely sure is trying to win any games. I'm pretty sure they would rather just tie it out. I think our prediction is still standing pretty close to firm for, or not prediction, our call that someone could win that division with four wins and a tie.
I want to update that, actually. ESPN has a whole article dedicated today on ESPN Plus dedicated to the possibility of a four-win team winning a division. So we were way ahead of the curve on that one.
You heard
ESPN
it here first.
Charged me from that point of view. I just gave it to you off the cuff 2 weeks ago.
Amazing. In the rest of the league, there's nothing really, I guess, super, super noteworthy. There was a trade today.
The Raiders had to send their entire starting offensive line home with COVID. That's a pretty big deal.
Okay, so it's a big deal, but in a world where games have been rescheduled basically every week at this point due to COVID-19 and not understanding how to properly do this, the Titans were going to be fined, allegedly. I don't know if that's ever going to happen or not, but they're talking about fining. Did they do it?
Yeah, they fined them. That's all they did. They got fined. Their owner got – the team got fined, and I believe the GM got fined, if I'm not mistaken.
for not following protocols.
Yeah. I think it should have hit Vrabel personally, and all the players that partook. But whatever.
In their offsite coaching practice sessions that were unsanctioned. Yeah, I think
it was completely ridiculous and completely unfair to the Pittsburgh Steelers, whom, by the way, I never preached the fairness to the Steelers ever in my life, but in this case I will.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair point too. There are a lot of teams that seemingly, in fact, my former number one guy, my Tom Brady, was doing the same thing in Florida. When they told people not to get together and practice, he was having people over to his house, and they were practicing in his yard or like going to a field or something and doing some still running drills, which I think
Tom
is just
Brady
kind of ridiculous.
Not following the rules. Figure that one.
I know.
Also, Mike Vrabel not following the rules. Figure that one. I wonder where they get it. Anyway, continuing on.
In the world of baseball, we are down to the World Series. And it is the haves and have-nots in terms of spending, with the Dodgers and the Rays. The Rays aren't the bottom. I think we figured out they're the third lowest payroll.
$27 million. There's guys on the Dodgers that make more than the entire Tampa Bay Devil Rays payroll. Or, sorry, just Rays. They're not the Devil Rays. I keep calling them the Devil Rays.
Whatever. You can call them the Devil Rays. I appreciate the nostalgia. It's a good throwback.
You mean back when they used to draw 5,000 fans instead of zero? No, I'm
just kidding. Yes. To be fair to the Rays organization, they know how to draft very well, and they always develop pitching very well. They've never been a terribly gifted offensive team, although they've had a couple of really good offensive players. And they've been very solid defensively. And this is even when they're bad. Even when they're bad, they're not really getting slammed. And this year it's worked for them. So they've always, I've never looked at the Rays as like Baltimore in their rebuild right now. Like the Orioles suck. The Orioles have sucked for a while and they don't have any pitching. And you were basically counting on Chris Davis to hit a grand slam or strike out four times a game.
Or if you're expecting Chris Davis to hit above 220.
Yeah. Well, that would be nice, but let's not get care. Let's not reach for the moon here. That's asking a lot. It's an interesting series. I am, I'm rooting for the Dodgers for a couple of reasons. And it's most of it has to do, I think, with my Jays affiliation more than it does my affiliation to the Dodgers. Although there, I do have a soft spot for teams that have just kind of toiled away and they've had this monkey on their back for a while. You start to feel bad. Like for a while, I was fine with Curse of the Bambino. And then, I'm like, all right, well, maybe we end it. Let's just get them off the schneid and see what happens. Kind of felt great to see the Cubs.
And look what happened when they got off the schneid. They win every 4 years now.
I know. It's outrageous. So I would like to see the Dodgers win one. Given all that money, given all that talent, I would like to see
them. As a small market baseball team fan, I'd love to see the biggest market in sports win with all their money spent. Is an interesting take. I like it. Keep going.
I just like the Dodgers. It's a history thing for me. I think I would have rathered the other American League team, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit, be in that World Series over the Rays. If I'm being completely frank, if the Jays aren't going to be in the World Series, I am all for big market powerhouses slugging out with each other or underdog stories. So I am okay with the Rays winning. If they win it, congrats. They've done it on the power of, as I can't even say. What
was that? They've done it on the power on the exact same thing that Shapiro's been trying to do in Toronto.
Yes.
Here's the fun part. I'm going for the Dodgers as well, just because a team spending almost $300 million a year not winning is just pathetic and depressing. So maybe just get the monkey off their backs and give them one. Dodgers fans don't deserve it. The team doesn't deserve it. The players don't really deserve it. Although they were playing out of their minds this year, they were excellent. But when you go out and get an MVP, when you go get someone like Mookie Betts to add to an already stacked roster, it should just be a foregone conclusion. But the Dodgers almost found a way to choke it away again. But luckily the power of choking is much stronger in Atlanta, Georgia than it is in Los Angeles. So here we are. As far as the Rays go, I think it sets a really dangerous precedent. Sports are a copycat league. If the Tampa Bay Rays win a World Series with a $27 million payroll, I think you're going to see a lot of teams changing strategies. A lot of owners are looking at their wallets what do we have here? Like, I know you're like, you love like the big money, other than being a Jays fan, like you love the concept of the big money, big spending Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, Mets to a lesser extent when their owner's not getting bankrupted by Ponzi schemes. But like, yeah, I think the Rays winning could be a really interesting dynamic. Not that I want the Rays to win. I don't think that team deserves to exist, more or less win a World Series. But I like the dynamic of a team with a $27 million payroll winning the World Series. Like, knowing that there's guys on the Dodgers that make more money than the entire roster. Like, there's Dodgers players that could own the Rays.
Yeah, it's that kind of
boggling. Like, how much does Kershaw make exactly? Like, I'm pretty sure Kershaw makes more than the Rays.
He might. I think he might make $30 million a year.
$93 million will stay in the same zip code. He provided the extension to 221. 3 years, $93 million. So that's like
31 million a year.
So for the record, Kershaw's salary probably covers the entirety of the staff of the Tampa Bay Rays. He could probably, if he really dipped in and probably used his last contract, he could probably, or if he just dips into 2 years, he could probably pay for the entirety of the franchise. So kudos to Clayton Kershaw and the money he makes. And it's like, that's just really interesting to me that someone like that on one team, a guy that we just expect to choke and probably still will in this series.
Good chance.
It's more than the entire opposing team. So here's a good one. Mookie Betts, 12 years, $365 million. I don't think the Rays have spent $365 million in the last 12 years, if I'm being honest.
No, like, I'll tell you what I think part of my issue with the Rays, other than them being in the AL East, I will acknowledge full on that the fact that they're in the AL East makes them an enemy immediately. It already makes them dislike them. We see them a lot. They tend to beat us a lot, especially in Tampa.
Even when they're bad, they beat us, though. So,
yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, even when the Jays are a significantly better team, they still find ways to lose in Tampa, and that is beyond irritating. You're getting beat by guys who are not at least as talented as the guys they should be losing to, and they're just beating them. So I don't know what it is that it does it. There are just teams that beat other teams. I can't explain it. It's sports juju. That's all I can say.
When we were young, when the Jays were powerhouses, that team that always used to beat us was back when they were in the American League, was the Milwaukee Brewers. They used to give us the business back when they sucked. Whew.
The reason that I think that I really just that I have like a fundamental issue is it can be broken down into two main parts. One, they have trouble filling that stadium. And that to me says that you don't deserve, like, you're playing. I don't blame the players for this. This is a league trying to set up a team in a spot that doesn't deserve it. They did poor market research, whatever you want to call it. I don't know how the team got there. You might know that better than I do. Whoever you want to blame for that, that's your fault. It's not the player's fault that they play in shitty Tampa. You sign the contract, you play, you make the money. I get that.
Yeah, but most of the things got drafted and then signed their rookie contract. Like, this is not, these are not free agency guys for the most part.
No. The other thing that bugs me is the amount of talented guys that they've had, and they just come close to the end of their like cheap deal, quote unquote, and they just offload them. And I understand that's their concept for building. It's whatever money ball, penny pinching, spin-off spoof that they want to decide to do bothers me. It bothers me. I don't mind. I'll be honest. If a mid salary team wins, I am great with that. If someone who's like, hey, look, we have our stars, but we also have depth guys, and we didn't, you know, spend the farm, because I always hated the Rangers going out and like paying for everyone and like trying to buy a Stanley Cup. It always pissed me off.
They never really made the playoffs when they called that strategy, but yeah.
No, they didn't, but they tried. And it always bothered me, because you want the free agent who was the big name to come to your team. And it's the opposite with the Rays, where they're like, oh, David Price is coming up. Oh, he's in his prime. Let's offload him. This will be perfect. And they end up rebuilding, which is great for them, but it fundamentally bothers, like, it gets me like in my soul that they have a guy that they could build a whole team around for a long time. All they have to do is pay him a bit, and they just don't. They just don't. They just don't believe in paying players. And that to me is just such a shitty feeling to know that you got picked by, like, if you're So you're a first round pick in like a high draft pick to the Rays. You know that you're not going to play with the Rays for long.
You think you'd be like grateful for that?
It's almost true. Well, I mean, maybe the taxes would be nice, but like you're basically saying, hey, at least I got to the team that'll trade me to a winner. Like, you know what I mean? It's brutal. It's brutal.
There's another way to look at it, but there's another way. You're going into a system where they're going to take care of you and bring you up properly, and you're probably going to be a good major leaguer, as opposed to a lot of teams that draft guys and then just like wallow them away because they drafted a position they already have a star player or something of that akin, right? Like it's a two-way street. I mean, honestly, if I'm a high draft pick by the Tampa Bay Rays, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I think I'm going to have a pretty good career. Whether or not I spend my whole career with that team is debatable, but like they don't miss very often, man. Like they have missed. And so there's a lot more misses on big teams like the Yankees than there are teams like Tampa. So, and you often get there before you even get to the league.
I don't disagree at all. I think that the Rays drafting is excellent. I just feel like they could be a better team.
You are projecting on the Tampa organization because you're probably still upset like most Jays fans are about what Shapiro and them have done with the Jays. I feel like this year might have like softened that, but I know lots of Jays fans are miserable.
Yeah, I was never one to jump in on the Shatkins hate. Honestly, they look what they did in Cleveland. I feel like they actually knew what they were doing. Anthopoulos emptied the cupboards for a run.
What do they do in Cleveland? What do they win in Cleveland?
AL championship, ALCS.
They were already in Toronto when they won the ALCS, their first year.
Who built that team?
I mean, for the most part, they did build the team. But they went up and got other pieces. Like Andrew Miller wasn't a part of them. Like he was the reason
Okay, so but Andrew Miller got there because they had the assets to trade to get Andrew Miller, and the reason they had those assets to do that is because of Shapiro and Atkins. We can't take away what they've done and just be like, oh, the guys that are there that built it. That's like the last season that the Jays made the playoffs when their first year there, that last like really pathetic, it didn't look like it was going to happen run. It's not his fault. And I like.
I mean, I don't blame the 2016 not working out or the team. I'm not mad at them for what they've done. All I'm saying is that, like, if you want to talk about something they built, talk about something like Theo Epstein built in Chicago that won a World Series. Yeah, it's come apart at the seams the last few years, but they actually won. Oddly enough, beating that Cleveland team. But like the idea of getting to a World Series being some kind of benchmark on your resume of a team you built of young players, if that's the case, where's the Tampa GM from 2008? He should be there too, like whoever that guy is. I don't remember who he was. And this guy should be too then, because like clearly these guys build – if they lose to the Dodgers, they build runner-ups and that's enough. Like I'm not mad at Shapiro and Atkins. Don't take that as that. I just think that like unless you actually win, I don't care what you build.
So you need a chance to get to the show is I guess where I'm going with this. It's not like if you don't get to the show, you're not going to get there. If you don't have an opportunity to play in the championship game, you're certainly not going to win it. I mean, I know that's the most John Madden thing to say.
Kind of like an indirect shot there at Anthopoulos. I wouldn't trade what Anthopoulos did in 2015 for the world, but I'd love to not gotten R.A. Dickey and kept those guys sent to the Mets. Yes. But that happened.
But everything else? I also don't. So what I'm saying when I say Anthopoulos emptied the cupboards, I'm just saying that factually, not with malice. I don't think he did it with the intent to like fuck over anyone that was taking over. What I think he was doing was making a run. I think he thought this team is really good and they're not quite playing the way that they should be. I'm going to give them what they've been asking for 3 years at the deadline. Because every year at the deadline, you'd hear guys going, you know, it would really boost our spirits if it felt like ownership was actually believing in us to bring in someone to do this. And they were like, there was no one available that we wanted to spend money on. And that year there was, and they did it. And I mean, I remember being like legitimately giddy when I read David Price was coming to the, I didn't believe it. I thought it was a typo.
I knew we were never going to re-sign him. So I had like kind of like tempered expectations, but as bad as he was in the playoff run for us, he got us. He was a huge reason why we got there. So I could never be mad at him for it, because 2015 is my favorite baseball year in recent memory. 2016 was cool too, but 2015 was everything. Like, it'd been 22 years. I would have mortgaged everything to have that run. Yes. Even if we came up short, it was worth it.
And I'm still happy with that, but that's what I'm saying. We came up short and it was worth it. And that's why I'm saying we can't diminish what they did.
Did Bob build the Braves?
He's currently building the Braves, yeah.
That came within, not being in the Atlanta zip code, being in the World Series.
Yeah.
Maybe we should recall him. Clearly we love guys that almost get to the World Series or do, so maybe we should recall him. Just saying.
I have no problem with Anthopoulos doing what he did. I also don't have there are a lot of people who hold really high emotional attachments to Anthopoulos because of what he delivered. But I also don't hold the same vitriol that some people hold towards Shapiro and Atkins.
I don't have a disgust for either, although they hired Montoya. But then again, Doppel's rehired John Gibbons. So we both have our flaws here.
Yeah.
Either way.
For sure. The team that almost made it to the American League caused a meme storm on when they were eliminated. And I think the memes were justifiable. But you and I had an interesting discussion, and it kind of led us to this week's, I guess, focus point, or what we're going to chat about. And of course, I'm talking about the Houston Astros, who were eliminated by those $27 million raise.
God bless them.
And basically, I will say the baseball world, it's not everyone, but I'm going to call it the baseball world, basically rejoiced. There were many people praying to the sports deities to have Tampa eliminate Houston. And I personally didn't understand the complete vitriol. I get it that they cheated. They got whatever soft punishment from the league, and I moved on. I think that the cheating was cheating. I don't even know how to fully explain.
No, so we're gonna circle back here. I got some points here because you're already kind of going off the track. You originally made the statement which led to this entire episode. Said in no uncertain terms that the Astros cheating scandal was no different than steroids. And I was like, I was appalled at that statement. So I wanted you to elaborate on that thought process while I play devil's advocate to this, please, by all means. Sure. How is it not different?
Well, okay. So it's a competitive advantage for one. These guys were getting signals from trash can beating, which is
video surveillance as well. They were using video surveillance.
Everyone's using video surveillance. Let's not pretend.
Not during games. They're not. Not during games.
The Yankees and the Red Sox were both caught doing the same thing.
They were not caught doing the exact same thing. They were both like sign stealing in baseball, first and foremost, is completely normal. If you can figure out the other team's signs, that's entirely up to you. The Astros had guys wearing wires, people watching television.
Whoa. Okay. Let's roll this back for a minute. You cannot tell me that the Yankees and Red Sox were allegedly doing the same thing and then bring in the buzzer argument that wasn't proven. They had videographers. No, it's not. The videographers is proven. They had video people, but that's exactly what happened in with the Yankees. They fired a guy who was a video technician. And they had in the Red Sox, they had a guy that was out at the Green Monster in one of the holes with a camera pointed at the other guy's catchers. Like, this is what I'm talking about. They were video recording signs and then relaying them back. Now, what the Astros did that was different was that it was faster, it was real time, and they were using trash cans to relay these signals. People love that trash can thing. They think it's hilarious. And I don't know if it's because it's garbage that they've kind of taken to this, but there are other big league teams that were doing this that were not given the same.
I have it up in front of me right now. So the Red Sox were fined for using Apple Watches.
Yes.
Which, by the way,
not worse? Whoa, how is that not worse though?
Because you're just texting. The amount of time that you have to like send a text and look at your wrist, dude, it's not the same. It is not the same, even remotely the same. If everyone was doing as badly as the Astros, everyone would be getting the guff the Astros got. Let's be real here. Everyone will be getting hammered. The Astros got hammered for a reason because it was worse. It messed up careers. It did all kinds of things. Now, so what you said originally, how it's no worse than steroids. We've seen the Mitchell report. We've seen how many people were using steroids. So yes. Literally, we'll say almost 30 to 40% of the league basically was on the juice.
Yes.
It wasn't as much a competitive advantage as it was just trying to keep up with the Joneses, I think is a fair. Look, the Jays have been accused of sign stealing by having a guy out in center field. Sign stealing is not a new occurrence. The Astros went like two steps too far. And honestly, they went to 7 games of the World Series last year without it. They were doing it into the 2018 season. And they're the only ones that got their GM and their head coach fired. So there had to be more than just everyone else was doing. Is everyone engaging in different types of ways that you got to get any competitive advantage they can? Absolutely.
Can I tell you what I think it is? I think it's because they won. I think ultimately what it came down to is if they didn't win let's say they were doing this and they lost the World Series, LA's off the schneid. All is good with the gods, the lowly cheaters, the ones who deceived the great game of baseball, who dare smite on us gods of ball, have been punished because they didn't win. They won. And that pisses people off more than anything.
So here comes the Patriots fan making apologies to cheaters and winning. So here we go. Keep going. I'm with you. I got you. Keep going. I don't give a damn about anybody cheating per se. I've been on this show numerous times and saying Deflategate was a joke because they ran
absolutely the ball down. Yes.
And although I do believe Spygate to be particularly egregious, that was they got popped for that so long ago it almost doesn't even matter anymore. But it's funny that last year, every Patriots fan's butthole's puckered up when they got busted filming with their TV show where they're filming with Cincinnati
Skyline. Yeah, that was so stupid.
Patriots fans were like, it's just for the show, we swear. But when there's smoke, there's fire.
No, that was dumb. That was
it was dumb. I'm not saying they were cheating here. I'm not, don't misconstrue.
Oh, no, I was saying if they are cheating, it's a stupid way to cheat. And two, you've been accused so many times. Why would you even bring a film crew in when they're filming, when they're doing practice? Just don't do it. And if you were filming to film practice to get lines, you're an idiot. It's like the Cleveland Browns. We didn't need it.
It was actually the Cincinnati Bengals.
Bengals. Sorry. I apologize. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't need it. But the reality is that nowadays, Patriots, you made the joke last week about how hard Goodell is on the Patriots. It's they keep getting popped for cheating scandals. And then I was like, look, the Tom Brady and Mike Vrabel aren't following rules. I remember where they learned that from. There's a long line of it. So I feel like a lot of Patriots fans, when it comes to other sports, are very apologist about these sorts of things. Here's one. The Colts, I think, used to pipe in crowd sound. I believe that they did that. I believe that happened.
If anybody's looking for what your team has done to cheat, because I can tell you everybody's teams cheat. It's called yourteamcheats.com or .org. You can Google it. There's a website. It tells you. The Steelers are the cheatingest franchise in NFL history. And it includes every infraction of cheating that's against the rules. Now, when I say every infraction, I mean guys that were popped for PEDs, guys. It includes everything they name as a gate, as making fun, because that's what everybody does. They for whatever reason, this is the Watergate has turned into everything gate. So Tripgate from the New York Jets. Not that we need to hammer on the Jets after last week.
Okay, hold on. But I just looked at my Colts here for a second, and Suck for Luck 2011 is one of the worst offenders. Tanking is considered cheating now.
Well, tanking is cheating if you're purposefully losing. If you're fielding a team that is throwing games, that would be cheating. Is it egregious? No.
Here you go. Now, if you want to hammer the Colts, which is by the way, a much lesser cheating than tanking, because every team is tanked ever. Don't care who they are.
Yeah,
we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players in a 3-year span getting popped for PEDs. Hearing aid gate. Terry Glenn said the Colts center, Howard Martin, the quarterback, uses illegal hearing devices to block out crowd noise. That's pretty clever. What else we got? Noise gate. Yeah, this is us. By the way, this is the one I just referenced. They say this is only a 1.5 severity. I think this is way more severe. And oddly enough, it was the Patriots ratting for it. But yeah, I do believe they pumped out crowd noise. That is real. Injury gate 2005.
Oh, 15. Yeah, there's a bunch. So there are a bunch that they that like crossover teams that they've put on. So like PED gate is one that their salary cap gate is one that's on there. Radio gate where they're talking about headsets. Injury gate is on there where they forge or tamper with their injury report. So tamper gate and headset gate are ongoing.
By the way, noise gate showed up again. Deflate gate. Okay, we didn't cheat in deflate gate though. Sorry, noise gate again in 2014. Like the Colts are really bad for piping in crowd sound. Maybe someone should do that.
Yeah. So this is a fun website to go to. You can see where your team has cheated and what they've been accused of over the years and what's been proven and what hasn't. This guy has some sort of like stupid scale. I don't necessarily believe it, but
yeah, it's not the best site. Tampergate, all 32 NFL teams. Okay, this is losing credibility now. But go.
Well, no, it's true though. Everybody tampers. It's kind of ridiculous. So, anyway, what I'm saying is that if I'm not going to apologize for what they did, do I think what they did was? Do I think that stealing signs with video is against the rules and they should be punished? Yes. Do I think their punishment was SAWFT soft?
Wow, yes. Really? Oh God, that one happened.
Had to throw in an Enzo reference. I don't know why. I just felt like
did no, you
I
have didn't, to? But,
okay. Well, I did it. We already did.
I know you did it now, but like I don't know if you had to. You know, but continue.
Listen, we always have to. We got to throw in some sort of wrestling somewhere.
Is this a thing now? If we can do it, can we do it for likable wrestlers or good wrestlers? Like, you know, like
yes,
like Lachy Steel win like Eddie Guerrero maybe instead of Enzo.
I am definitely gonna do it for everybody who is a C+ wrestler who couldn't make it. I think.
Well, then we've got to remove Eddie Guerrero from C+ wrestlers immediately.
Well, Eddie's A+, and we've already talked about that.
Yes,
they were punished. Was it good enough of a punishment?
No.
I don't think so, but that's not the Astros problem either. It's not. That's a league problem. That's a problem with the commish. That's not a problem with the Astros. And do I have any issue with people being happy that the Astros are eliminated? No, but like, honestly, is this the new thing that everybody's going to glom onto for?
No, it's over now.
They lose. Is it?
Yes, because players that like took revenge on them got suspended longer than the players that cheated. So yeah,
yes, they did.
So like you're trying to
put guys pretty low on that. I don't believe it.
It's not okay. Like Joe Kelly got more suspended games than Jose Altuve did. And by the way,
one of the greatest memes in recent memory. What? FYI, Joe Kelly crying. Joe Kelly.
Oh, okay. Here's another one for you, real quick. I kind of lost my train of thought here. Damn it, I lost it. Anyway, keep going. Keep talking. They'll come back to me.
I'm not apologizing for Houston cheating. I just don't think it's nearly as egregious as everybody is. Everybody making it out like they have like besmirched the golden standard of baseball.
Oh, I got it. I got it. So first things first, tell that to you Darvish's bank account, because I'm sure he would love to hear your story. And second... Yeah, because we forget about that, right? Those pitchers that got absolutely slaughtered, that took way cheaper deals in their value. By the way, Darvish is great again when teams aren't stealing his signs. Anyway, also, we're going to go back to the most infamous cheating scandal in baseball history, and no, it's not steroids. We're going to go back to the Black Sox scandal in 1919. All those guys were banned for life from baseball. And honestly, yes, they had flimsy evidence that they even did it, and they all got banned for life. Meanwhile, Joe Kelly gets more games than any – like also – Also, another thing is the Astros finished 4 games below 500. They had no business being where they were. They got hot at the right time, but only because of the 60-game season did they even get close. If they were continuing at that trajectory, they probably only would have won about 80 games, 78 games, and would have no business being there. They were playing well within themselves at that point. Now, again, there's a very realistic possibility that if they played 162 games, they could have got hot down the stretch and, you know, crushed their way in. But let's not forget they finished 4 games below 500, and didn't Altuve hit like 220 this year?
Yeah, Altuve was a disaster. I'm not arguing that they didn't. The team that is currently in the World Series representing the American League played better than the team that they beat to get there. They absolutely deserve to be there way more than the Astros. Way more. I could name probably two other, like, there's two other American League teams that probably also, like, the Jays play better than the Astros, to be honest with you. Barely, but they did. Like, let's be honest. There's teams that play better. It's not, my issue is that when we come after someone for cheating and just decide that this is now like, so this, you said the Black Sox scandal, they got banned for life, right? Which is, by the way, throwing a World Series, right? So
yeah, but the point being is that the evidence they had to prove that was actually flimsier than the Astros often.
But who handed down that punishment? Was it not the commish?
Yeah, of course it was. It was. Well, I mean, the fact they were banned for life, like Shoeless Joe Jackson, who no one could prove had any complicity into it whatsoever, one of the greatest players of his time, got banned for life, died penniless, living in a car. Like, yeah. I know it's all fun and games when you're like, well, they won and blah, blah, blah. But there's real ramifications of teams cheating. The Houston Astros, and this is me being honest, are more than good enough to have won the 2017 World Series without cheating. Like, they were, like, make no mistake, I'm not saying they won because they cheated. I'm saying the cheating compromised everything. Yes. No, it definitely didn't hurt them. Like, but again, like, Yu Darvish got like a sweetheart low-end contract because of what happened to him in that World Series. A lot of those Dodgers players went on to free agency and got like treated like shit because of what the Astros did to them. Same with the Yankees. Like, a lot of the Yankees guys got like badly, badly beaten up and looked down upon and got like, took lesser contracts because of it. So like, let's not just like say, oh, well, they won the World Series and gloss over. You got to look at the overall impact of what that did to guys. And the beatings and big stages and big nationally televised games over under big lights and how that degrades people's stock. Forget the fact that like the Astros are a loaded franchise of baseball players and they're really damn good. Hence why they went 7 games last year in the World Series. Like, they're good enough. They didn't have to do this. And to just gloss over it and say, well, you know, blah, blah, other teams do things. It's a huge difference between video surveillance and banging on trash cans and someone sending text messages on an Apple Watch. Like, there's a huge realm. Now, if someone was, like, you know, live FaceTiming the signals to the guy in the batter's box or something, okay, maybe we should start talking about that. But, like, it doesn't seem to be that case. And if the Red Sox were cheating and everyone was doing the exact same scheme, I'd be like, let the Astros play and move on. I don't care. If everyone was doing this in the exact same manner and the whole league got popped, I'd be like, well, the Astros are clearly still the best team. It doesn't really matter. But they're not. They're the ones that got caught. And I don't care that they won so much. I don't give a shit about their World Series title or I don't believe anyone should have an asterisk on it, but there should have been more punishment handed down than there was. The league went, like you said, soft on them. It ruined a lot of guys like contracts and years. And some guys probably got careers ruined. I'm not looking that deeply into it, but I'm pretty sure I could find it. It costs guys a living and that's important, man. Like if I go down the street right now and I see a labor worker and I break both his legs, cause like, you know, I'm trying to win a race of some sort or try to beat him to a product in Best Buy or race him to toilet paper when the second wave hits, you know, you're like, well, you know, he did what he had to do to win. So, you know, it doesn't matter that he can't work ever again. You know, like, you get the concept. Like, obviously it's not as severe as breaking someone's legs, but it's that level. And so it's so,
why did lost him? So Kershaw got lit up in that World Series.
Kershaw gets lit up in almost every World Series. I'm willing to give the actor a pass on that one.
I mean, yes and yes, but do you think that could have played with his psyche, but he still got signed for $31 million a season. I understand your argument.
Well, he wins like the Cy Young every in the National League. Yeah, he deserves that. Without Kershaw, the Astros
would be well. There are a lot of players who...
You, Darvish's contract
I would agree. I would agree, but... Again, I'm like, I put this on an Angels team. I understand your concept. I'm not going to like sit here and say that it doesn't have consequences to those that they did it against, because it does. And I also don't think that you should just go for the win at all costs mentality. I don't believe that the Astros should have videotaped signals and transmitted them via can.
I just want to point out that Jose Altuve's best hitting season is 2017. Now, he hit 316 in 2018, but they cheated into 2018 as well. 2019, he falls below 300. And this year, he was hitting 219. So, although he's been a pretty good hitter most of his career, 2014, 341, 313, 338. But like 346 home runs, 24 home runs. He had 24 in 2016 as well. Like, his numbers are a little bigger and better in 2017. His contract isn't that high, though, so maybe he signed a bad deal. He's still only making $4.5 million a year for all he's contributed. But, I mean, to a nicer guy, it couldn't have happened. So I'm okay with Altuve getting the short end of the stick. Double entendre for the fact that he's, like, what, 5'2 and a quarter?
Yes.
What was it when they said why he was so protective of someone ripping his shirt off after a walk-off home run? Was because he'd just gotten a tattoo, but we proved he hadn't gotten a tattoo. So I guess the wire wasn't proven, but it was kind of like, maybe. We'll never know.
We won't. We won't know, unfortunately. But
I believe they were. I totally believe they were.
I mean, the conspiracy.
You know what would have shut all this up? It would have shut me up completely. Is that they won last year. If they'd beaten the Nationals last year, I would just hear and say, whatever, they probably would have won anyway.
Probably. You're not wrong. It probably would have shut a lot of people up. Although there's still going to be people that sit there, me cheated.
It's like if they'd won without cheating, because just making it back to the World Series wouldn't be enough. I get the concept of the revenge series for the Dodgers would have been much more appealing to people. I understand that. I thought the Astros missed the playoffs entirely, and I was very grateful for that. But unfortunately, this overly expanded process, somehow they got in anyway. I don't understand how. I mean, we finished like 4 or 5 games above 500. The Astros finished like 3 or 4 below. They finished like 27 or 31 or something like that, didn't they? Or 32?
Yeah, I think they were below.
They were not a good baseball team this year. And then they got hot. I mean, it didn't hurt that they played like Oakland and didn't they play Minnesota as well? No. Who beat Minnesota? Was it Chicago?
It might have been Chicago.
No. Shout out to Minnesota Twins losing 18 consecutive playoff games, by the way. That is one hell of a stanky feat coming from a Leafs fan.
my overall opinion has not changed. I understand what you're saying about the, like, I will give credence to the it has far reaching effects on more than just the outcome of the game.
I said more than just the World Series or the championship or whatever. Like it's way deeper than that. I don't have an issue with them winning the World Series. I have an issue with
that's the difference between this conversation that we're having. And just in case anybody's unsure, this is a conversation. This is how Steve and I talk. And the conversations that I see on, say, Twitter, which is, they wouldn't have won. Give them an asterisk. Blah, blah, blah. Like,
They went to the wire in 2-7-game series with a serious competitive advantage back-to-back. We don't know they would have won. Like, I mean, evidence indicates that they probably would have given, you know, what they've been able to do in follow-up years. But we can't just say, oh, they would have won anyway. We don't know that. They could have stole a sign and didn't they hit a walk-off home run, like a late game home run against the Yankees to get there? Like it was a big deal. I remember one of the game sevens, I remember it was the Yankees or the Dodgers, but there was like a big moment where like they came through and they knew what was coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Would they have gotten it the other way? Who knows? But like there's a lot of questions here. And again, it's not all about just the integrity of the World Series. The Astros, as far as I'm concerned, are the 2017 World Series champions. I don't have any qualms with that. They won. They almost won last year, and they probably very realistically could have won this year if they couldn't have beaten a team with $27 million payroll, like you know some of the other teams couldn't. I'd say the Jays, but the Jays' payroll is only above $27 million because we're still paying Tulowitzki. So, no, it's true. It's actually true.
The Astros beat the Twins, and then they beat the Athletics.
Yeah, two of the most notorious playoff-choking baseball teams in the world allowed this to happen. So shout-outs to them.
I'm also pretty sure they're low on the payroll scale as well.
The Astros?
No. The Twins and Athletics.
Yeah, because they're two welfare franchises that develop much like Tampa does. But unfortunately for them, and unlike Tampa, they never really seem to pull it together when they need to. The Twins have lost 18 consecutive playoff games. Did I mention that? They have not won a playoff game in 19 attempts. That's insane. Yeah. That's like Detroit Lion-esque. Although I don't think the Lions have played 19 playoff games.
Well, you have to get to the playoffs to play the playoff games. So shout out to...
I've heard here real quick. Gun to your head, you have to be a fan of either team, the Browns or the Lions. Who are you going with?
The Browns.
Yeah, me too.
at least there's entertainment value in the losing. There's, you know, like, honestly, there's at least something there. And there's always a possibility of you drafting another quarterback. So,
How many games did the Browns play? The Browns haven't won a playoff game in their new Cleveland home, right?
I don't think so, no. I don't think they have. Poor Browns.
I don't think they have either. For Browns playoff wins all time, just looking here. They got. Here's the thing. Is the Detroit Lions haven't won a playoff game since the 1950s.
Yeah. I know. The Lions are – listen, the Lions are awful. Dear Detroit Lions, you've wasted Matthew Stafford. Congratulations.
The last time the Lions won a playoff game was actually only 3 years after the Lions' last playoff win was with 94. They beat the New England Patriots in the wild card round. That's Belichick's Browns too, isn't it? That's the last iteration of the Browns. Yeah. Last time the Browns lost a playoff game, 2002, the Cleveland Browns lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They haven't even been in the playoffs in 2002, man. I don't know. I don't know. They were there at 9-7. That's sad, dude, because they went 10-6 in 2007. 10-6 is like the Ryan's, the Lions benchmark season, though. Oof, man. Oof, this team. This team is bad.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, it's really bad. It's systemically trash.
They moved back to Cleveland in what, 2000 or 99? They came back in 99, right?
99. Yeah.
Who was the quarterback of the 2002 Cleveland Browns? Just curiosity.
2002? Was that Couch?
No, couldn't be.
We apologize for the.
It was Tim Couch. It was Tim Couch. I apologize.
We're going on a bit of a tangent here, but
we're talking about like good teams. We got to talk about bad teams too. We dedicated the whole episode to the Jets last week, who managed to somehow look worse this week than they did last week when we had the episode. It's like we could have a what's the newest low in Lodom of jettiness when in this podcast. Well,
they're about to play the Bills this week and get even lower. So. Because Josh Allen
looks like Josh Allen again, so maybe the Bills need to play the Jets. The Jets are kind of like a pick-me-up. It's like, you know, like the Jets are like the NFL version of like a little bit of Xanax. They just pick you right up.
Shout out to the Sportsocracy and Jeremy for coming on last week. That was a wicked episode, and he took our abuse like a champ. Do you have anything more to add other than I will concede to you that it has far-reaching effects on the outcome outside of the game?
Exactly.
I'm not changing my opinion on the game itself, because I feel like this is baseball purists and people jumping on, like there are people that are complaining about this that have like, they're like, why was the pitcher hitting? I don't understand. What's the rules? Like, I don't, if you're not watching baseball, don't talk to me about this. Sorry, I don't like. I'm, you know, I don't want to say your opinion doesn't matter, but
I'm not a baseball purist by any stretch of the imagination.
No, you're not, and I'm not saying you are.
So, but I don't care about so much the integrity of the game. I care about that this is big business, and that big business was heavily impacted in an unfair way. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Yu Darvish isn't going to sleep in a cardboard box like Shoeless Joe did. He got a solid contract out of it, but. He definitely left a lot of money on the table for those cameras and trash cans. And if I was Yu Darvish, I would sue the Houston Astros in a heartbeat.
There are some people that have considered it. They absolutely should.
I don't believe they should have an asterisk. I still believe they're the 2017 World Series champions. But the punishment wasn't severe enough, and they should be sued. And they should be the guys that were negatively impacted by it should be compensated. I don't know.
Do you think they should sue Major League Baseball or the Astros specifically?
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. Major League Baseball and the Houston Astros organization. Yeah. I think all 31 teams should get in on it. I really believe that. I think they should win. Now, how much they should win, I'm not saying Yu Darvish should get the difference in his contract to be a pitch like Yu Darvish was capable of pitching against the Houston Astros in 2017, because God knows what that would be. But I think a couple mil here, a couple mil there. I mean, like, yeah, I think the MLB and, like, the Houston Astros should be forced to pay out, like, a couple $100 million. Yeah, easy. And I don't have any issue saying it.
No, I like, listen, I never,
Steve. You should definitely lose the first round pick for a few years too.
Well, okay. So that I'm fine with that punishment. I'm fine. I think that would be a better punishment than don't do it again. Don't do it. And your GM and coach are banned for a year. Was it a year they got?
They all got a year, but they also got fired by the organization. But don't get me wrong, a lot of the guy, the poor GM basically proved he had nothing to do with it. Had the paperwork proved he had nothing to do with it, got suspended for a year because, what's his dumbass, the commissioner of baseball, whose name will lose me right now, it doesn't matter.
Manfred.
Yeah, whatever that idiot's name is, I don't care. And he went there with this giant binder full of evidence proving that the Astros still employed a lot of the guys behind the cheating scandal who he demoted, who they pushed right back into the position they were doing where they were cheating, proving he didn't cheat, showing you how much the Astros care about integrity, right? So, fuck the Astros. Like, whatever. they won a World Series, but fuck the Astros. The organization's a joke.
Oh, I love it. Steve, where can the people find you if they want to rebut this or come to your
side? I know we have some listeners in Texas, so if you're Houston Astros fans, come at me at SteveSteele23. I believe my name right now on Twitter, if you're looking for me, is the N64 was a trash console. And that's a fact. I believe is my actual full Twitter name right now. And it was. The controller is the worst controller ever. That weird cartridge system, those weird blocky, weird, like, look like jagged, like, slimmed down Lego blocks. That console sucks. And that's SteveSteele23 on Instagram, where I post a lot of my shoes. I think I'm going to be doing a Photoshop soon where I'm going to mock a lot of this new trend of guys acting like they're very stressed out with their hand on their heads and using, like, really ridiculous rap lyric captions on my Instagram. So look out for that. That's probably coming soon, where I'll be wearing some of my most expensive clothes and acting like I'm constipated or in pain or stressed out. We'll see.
I can't wait for this. I really want to see this. Plus, I do love when you rock new shoes. So, or old shoes.
I don't know what anyone's seen that I wear. To be honest with you, I have no idea. I wear what I like. If you've seen a shoe of mine, I apologize, but you know, it's just what I want to wear at that time. I don't keep track. I try to wear a new one every day, but it's difficult.
To any of our listeners, if you are a shoe person, you need to check out Steve's and stuff for sure.
Put it this way, guys, you could easily go two months without seeing me wearing the same shoe, but you might not. Depending if I really like a shoe, you might see it twice.
If you're looking to find me, which you're probably not, but if you're on my side, I'm looking at you Astros fans, at Armchair Common 2, at Armchair Commentary on Instagram. Look for us next week. I think we've got something special coming for you. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. Thanks for listening. And that does it for this week's episode of the Armchair Commentary. If you enjoyed this episode and want to let us know what you think about it, please head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, let us know what you think, tell us on social media. The only way we can make this podcast better is with input from our listeners, and that's you. We appreciate anyone that takes time out of their day to listen to our podcast, and we would just like to know, are we doing things that you enjoy listening to? Or do you hate it? Would you want to see something else? Do you want to see more polls, more guests, more goats, more busts? Whatever you want, let us know. We appreciate it. If you're looking for another sports podcast to check out this week, make sure to head over to our friends Down the Pub. They're still rolling along, still rolling strong. The best footy podcast in the world, at least in my opinion, and I might be a little biased. And if you're looking for a super fun live show to get into, you want to check out the Sportsocracy on All the Good Lives. Our friend Jeremy Green is on there. Excellent podcast. Fantastic. Definitely recommend. It has been an interesting week in sports. We can't wait to do it again next week. Thanks for listening, everyone.